This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Understanding of the background intrigue of what was taking place in the palace was taking place between Esther and Haman, and what we call the behind the scenes of the taking place. Okay, so let's begin with the Gemara Megillah on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara wants to know whether Esther's metames hayadayim, whether Esther renders the hands impure. We know the feature of Kisvei HaKodesh is that it's metame the yadayim. So you say, what kind of halacha is that, that Kisvei HaKodesh are metame the yadayim? If they're Kodesh, how could they be metame as the yadayim? Well, the issue was that people thought that since Kisvei HaKodesh were holy, they would store it with their truma. And the problem was the mice would come, they would eat the truma, and they would help themselves to the dessert of Kisvei HaKodesh. So in order to prevent that, they said Kisvei HaKodesh are metame as the yadayim. This way you don't store the Kisvei HaKodesh with truma. So if a sefer is metame the yadayim, it has a din of Kisvei HaKodesh. If it's not metame the yadayim, it's not Kisvei HaKodesh. So the question is Esther metame the yadayim? Well, was it written Baruch HaKodesh? Shmuel is of the opinion that Esther ain't a metames yadayim. Esther is not metame the yadayim. So it's not one of the 24 books, presumably according to Shmuel. But Rav Meir says, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namra Shenemar Vayivada Hadavar LeMardechai. The matter was known to Mardechai. The Gemara brings various opinions. How do we know Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh? For instance, Vayoymer Haman Beliboi. Haman said in his heart. How do we know what Haman said in his heart? Oh, must be Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namra. Or Kimu Vekiblu. Kimu Lamata. Kimu Lamala Mashikibla. Well, wait a second, how do we know what's going on upstairs? It must be Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namra. But a mayor is of the opinion that Esther is Baruch HaKodesh, Shenemar, Vayiva Dahadavar Lemardechai, Vayage Eli Esther Hamalka. The matter was known to Mordechai. What's the matter? The plot of Bigson and Seresh to assassinate the king. Now, how did Mordechai know about it? Who told him? Which birdie told Mordechai? And Ramir is not assuming that Mordechai was proficient in the language that Bigson and Seresh were speaking. How did Mordechai know? Must be Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, beautiful. This is a raya that Esther Ruach HaKodesh Namra. Comes the Shagas Aryeh, and the Shagas Aryeh, who wrote one of the all-time classic Sfarim of Lamdos, wrote a sefer on Masechta Megillah called Turei Eben. Shagas Aryeh asked the following very sharp question, and that is, what's the proof that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh? Just because Mordechai knew about the plot to kill the king, all that proves is that Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh, but it doesn't prove that the Sefer was written Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, the man had divine inspiration, but it doesn't mean that Megillas Esther was divinely inspired. What's the Raya? Ask the Shagas Aryeh in the Turei Eben. Elama, you'll say, that if Mordechai obviously had Ruach HaKodesh, as is evident from the fact that he overheard and understood the plot to kill the king, well then if he was writing a book, then he must have written it with divinely inspired. So too Esther, we know, was divinely inspired, as the Pasuk says, Vatilbash Esther, Malchus, the Gemara Darshan's on Daf Yodalid, Melamed Shalav Shasa Ruach HaKodesh. Well, and therefore if Mordechai and Esther wrote it, they must have written it Baruch HaKodesh, says the Shagas Aryeh. There is no proof whatsoever, just because somebody has Ruach HaKodesh, that everything they write is written Baruch HaKodesh. Well, and the proof being, very simply, Rev Meir himself says, Koheles is not Metame the Yadayim. There's a machloikes whether Shir HaShirim is Metame Yadayim. Ah, even though everybody holds, listen carefully. Even though Rav Meir holds Koheles is not Metame Yadayim, even though Rav Meir, there is an opinion, holds Shir HaShirim is Metame Yadayim. So that means if Shir HaShirim is Metame Yadayim, that means Shlomo HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach HaKodesh, how could Rav Meir say Koheles is not Metame Yadayim? Is a proof that just because someone has Ruach HaKodesh, and just because they may have written other works Baruch HaKodesh, doesn't necessarily mean that a different book that they wrote was written Baruch HaKodesh. Furthermore, Mishle, according to everyone, is Metame Yadayim. And the pasuk says Hashem appeared to Shlaimai. And nevertheless, Rav Meir holds Koheles is not Metame the Adayim, and it's not written Bracha Kodesh. So therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh, what we see from here is, just because an individual has Bracha Kodesh, doesn't mean every book they wrote is Bracha Kodesh. So just because Esther had Bracha Kodesh, and Mordechai had Bracha Kodesh, it doesn't mean that Megillas Esther is written Bracha Kodesh, right? When they wrote letters to their grandchildren wishing them happy birthday, doesn't mean those are part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Why? Well, what do you mean they had... Just because someone has Ruach doesn't mean everything they do is Baruch HaKodesh. Therefore, ask the Shagas Aryeh, what's Rav Meir's Raya? Ask the Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. All we prove is Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh. It doesn't mean Esther is Baruch HaKodesh. Comes the Ben Yehoyada. Now, the vast majority of today's shir is going to come from the Sfarim of the Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai, Chacham Yosef Chaim Mibavel, was born in 1832, and he passed away in 1909. We were talking about Moyalem before. His father was a Moyal. His father circumcised thousands of Jews in Babylon. Ben Ishchai would darshan every Shabbos for 3 hours. That's not a chiddush. I know a lot of Rabbanu could darshan for 3 hours. The chiddush is the people remained awake for those 3 hours. That's a chiddush. That's a ness, right? So also we know there's a famous song, Va'amartem Koy L'Choy, about the Rashbi, that was written by the Ben Ishchai. 1869, the Ben Ishchai comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to the kever of Benayahu Ben Yehoyada. And he felt over there a special ha'ara in his neshama. He felt a special connection to Benayahu. And therefore, he realized that he was the same Shoresh Neshama as Benayahu. And therefore, he named all of his Sfarim after the pasuk that talks about Benayahu, Benayahu, Ben Yehoyada, Ben Ishchai, Rav Pa'alim, Mekav Tse'el. And therefore, he named his Sfarim after the descriptions of Benayahu, Ben Yehoyada. He published more than 40 Sfarim. 80 Sfarim of the Ben Ishchai still remain unpublished in manuscript form. Recently, I mentioned a couple of times, I got a sefer called Berchas Horeach, which these are the Chidushim of the Ben Ishchai, which were found in a American intelligence agency in Iraq, flooded. I'm not available, I'm Mil Gilman Shira, so tell him, hold on. An American intelligence agency, and it was flooded, and they brought in specialists who were able to recover these documents. In 1869, so we know the Ben Ishchai went to a daven in the kever of Yecheskel Hanavi. Ultimately, the Ben Ishchai was laid to rest in Babylon, and he has a kever in Baghdad. Now, we discussed the issue that he also has a kever on Har HaZeisim. Now, how those two facts could be reconciled is a subject of a different shir that we're not going to get into today. But I just want to let you know, today's shir comes primarily from the Chidushim of the Ben Ishchai in the Sefer Ben Yehoyada, but as we'll see, primarily from the Svarim Keren Yeshua, that's the Ben Ishchai's commentary to Megillas Esther. And he gives an incredible answer to the Shagas Aryeh's question. Again, the Shagas Aryeh's question is, just because we've proven that Esther, that Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh, we don't necessarily have a proof that the Sefer was written Ruach HaKodesh. So he says a tremendous thing. He says like this, Vayivada Hadavar LeMordechai. And Mordechai knew about the plan of Bigson and Sarash. How did Mordechai know? Oh, is a raya Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh. Who wrote these words in the Megillah? Who wrote those words? Say, Mordechai wrote these words. I have a question. If Mordechai is not writing a divinely inspired book, and he's writing his own discretionary book, how in the world does he have the audacity and the gall and the boldness to put pen on paper and write? And I knew exactly what the people were planning to do to the king. You know how I knew? Because I have Ruach HaKodesh. You don't write you have Ruach HaKodesh unless God is telling you, write you have Ruach HaKodesh. It's like, how do you know if someone is a big makubal? If they tell you, hey Rabbi Yid, I happen to be a big makubal, then you know they're not a big makubal. Also, if they say, I charge X amount of dollars, you know they're not a big mekubal. Not in my opinion, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Hillel writes. So if Mordechai has Ruach HaKodesh, why would he write that in the book? Especially in light of the fact, says Ben Yoyada, Mordechai was a tremendous anav, and he's like Moshe Rabbeinu. He would never be Megala in the Torah, in the Megillah. By the way, you wouldn't believe what I know. You see these two guys that I don't hear what they're saying? God is telling me exactly, the Almighty God is communicating to me what they're thinking about. He's going to write that in the book? What kind of anav would do that? Only just like Moshe Rabbeinu would never have written in the Torah, Va'ish Moshe, anav ma'od mikol adam, unless Hashem is saying, Moshe, I know this is going to be a tough one. Write in the Sefer Torah that you are anav mikol adam. Well, says the Ben Yoyada, the raya that Megillah Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh is because otherwise there's no way in a million years Mordechai would have ever written in the Megillah Vayivada Hadavar LeMordechai. Okay, let's move on. Before we begin, let's point out a few interesting things here. We have in number 5, Vayihi Oymehein Es Hadasa Hi Esther Bastoidai Ki Ein La Avayim Vayihi Oymehein Es Hadasa. He raised Hadasa. But the word Oymein is spelled Chasar. It should be spelled Aleph Vav Mem Nun. Why is it Aleph Mem Nun? Well, that sort of triggers our mind to think, well, the word Oymein is very similar to the word Amein. Yes, says Ben Yehoyada in the Sefer Keren Yehoshua. Now, this shir is going to come from two different editions of the Keren Yehoshua. In the newer edition, I want to thank my friend Gedalia Schwartz who got me the new edition. There's an old edition, and what's in the new is not in the old. What's in the old is not in the new. So we're bringing in both, okay, for what we need. So the Keren Yeshua says in number 6 that the word Oymein is a remez to the special Hashgacha Pratis that Esther Hamalka had, that the Shekhinah dwelled on her, that Ruach HaKodesh dwelled on her. After all, the word Amein is Rashi Teva, Iskel, Melech, Ne'eman. And as we know, Amein is 91, Gematria 91, which is Gematria Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That is why the Arizal says, the Gemara says in Bracha is, Gadol Ha'oine Amein, Yoser Min HaMavarech. One who answers Amein is greater than the one who made the Bracha. How could such a thing be? How could Amein be greater than making the Bracha? The answer is, when you say a Bracha, all you're saying is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You're not getting the Shem Havaya in there. When you answer Amen, you get both names of Hashem. You get the Adnos, 65, and the Havaya, 26. Okay, next. Says the Keren Yehoshua. You know, Haman was very suspicious of all the miracles that were going to be done to Mordechai. He says on the words, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi. That the word Mordechai HaYehudi, the Chidah brings down from the Roikeach, is Gematria Shin Dalet Yud. Shin Dalet Yud is the name of Hashem. Now, Shakai has a special connotation that Hashem is Meshaded Maroches Hashemayim. Whatever forces the astrological signs would be causing in this world, Shem Shakai is the ability to shatter the forces of the astrological signs. That's why Haman says, V'chol zeh einenu shayveli b'chol eis asher ani royeh es Mordechai HaYehudi. When I see that nasty guy Mordechai, why does he say Mordechai HaYehudi? Mordechai HaYehudi is Gematria 314, Shem Shakai. Oy vai, every time I remember that he is being assisted and bolstered by the Mordechai HaYehudi, by the Shem Shakai, that's sort of a dagger in the heart of Mordechai. Okay, Rabbosai, Haman, fasten your seatbelts. There are different ways of getting to the same place. Okay, so we're now going to ask. Someone has a piano here. We're now going to ask the most important question on Megillah Esther. This is, you know, we read the story every year, and we think we're familiar with the story. Let's say the storyline, but there's a problem with the storyline. Storyline is like this. Ahasuerus has a queen, Vashti. He makes a demand, she doesn't listen. So he kills her. He has a beauty pageant, Esther wins. Esther is now in place. Ah, the refuah is there, kaidem lamaka. Then a man by the name of Haman is put into power. He makes a decree to annihilate the Jews. Then, now right before that, Mordechai overhears a plot to kill the king. So we're thinking, oh, look what God's doing. God is giving Mordechai credit in the eyes of the king, and that's going to be the beginning of the salvation. Now Haman makes a decree that's signed and sealed, ki kesav asher nichta b'shem ha-melech, v'nachtoim ein lahashiv. Ha, but we're now don't worry, because Mordechai overheard the plot to kill the king. And Mordechai let Esther know, and Esther told the king, and they wrote in the book of Zechroinos that Mordechai is a good guy. Now Haman is then advised by his Mechashefa and some other Chevra to go and tell the king that he wants to hang Mordechai. Now he's not embarrassed to tell the king. That means he's willing to say, King, I have a good idea. I want to hang Mordechai. He's not embarrassed to tell the king. That night the king can't sleep, and they read to him from the Sefer HaZechroinos, and they say, oh, you know, there's this guy Mordechai, he never rewarded. Okay, I'm going to reward him in the morning. So Haman comes in, and the king says, what should I do to someone who I would like to honor? And Haman, thinking that Ahasuerus is referring to him, said, let him wear the royal clothing, and let him ride the royal horse, and so on and so forth. And Ahasuerus says, okay, go do that to Mordechai, the Jew. And we're thinking, yeah, this is the beginning of the salvation. Oh, thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam. And then Esther invites Haman and Ahasuerus to a party, and then to another party. And then what happens? Ahasuerus says, by the way, Esther says, by the way, there's this really bad guy, he wants to kill me and my people. Who is it? Haman! Kill him. And we think, look how God set things up, that before Haman came into power, Mordechai was inscribed to be on the king's good side, so that the night before Haman came in to tell the king to hang Mordechai, Ahasuerus wants to reward Mordechai, and Mordechai has this big day in the sun, and that's the beginning of the salvation, and Haman is leading Mordechai through the streets, and we even have a special nigun, Ba'alayla ha'hu nadidashnas, and some people go, Ha-melech, as if like this has something to do with the story. It's completely irrelevant, as no shaykhis to salvation. Think about it. So very nice, the king can't sleep. And very nice, the king says, reward Mordechai. So Haman has a bad day, and Mordechai has his day in the sun. I have a question. If we were to take a picture of that bad day for Haman, that Haman is leading Mordechai through the streets, you know what the backdrop of that picture would be? And what do you think is going to be done on that? Tomorrow, Mordechai is going to be hanging on it. So it's absolutely irrelevant that Haman had a bad day. And Mordechai had a wonderful day. Very nice. Mordechai is king for the day. But still, Mordechai is going to be hung tomorrow, and the Jewish people are going to be annihilated on the 13th day of Adar. So of what significance is it that the king remembered to reward Mordechai, and Mordechai is the, oh, and everybody, what in the world? We have special, are you up? What are you singing about? What's the next pasuk? Vayoshav Mordechai, El Shar HaMelech. Mordechai goes back to the Shar HaMelech. He puts on his sackcloth, he puts the ashes back on his head, and the Jewish people are primed, chas v'shalom, to be annihilated. So the answer is, why are we duped by this? Because we live in America, and you follow the NFL. And the NFL, when your team is losing, and then they recover, the momentum switched! The momentum! Yeah, but in real life, and in the Torah, there's no momentum. There's a decree that's sealed, right? With sealed with the signature of Ahasuerus, that very soon the Jews are going to be annihilated. And very soon Mordechai was in the middle preparing what vidoy he should be saying when they hang him tomorrow. Mordechai wasn't jumping for joy, and Mordechai wasn't nothing to celebrate. Tomorrow is going to be the 11th of the Asara Haruge Malchus, Chas V'Shalom. What in the world is the story of Balai. And this is the turning point. There's even an opinion in the Masechet Megillah that this is where you should start laying the Megillah from, because this is the beginning of the salvation. This is not the beginning of nothing. This has nothing to do with anything. Didn't do anything. It's irrelevant to the story. The salvation happened because Esther had the guts to go in front of Ahasuerus and says, there's a guy who's trying to harm me. And Ahasuerus says, who is it? And Esther said, it's him. And Ahasuerus didn't know what to do. And this stupid Haman took a misstep, or the Malach pushed him, or whatever it is. And Ahasuerus said, in a moment of anger, off with his head. That's the salvation. Nothing to do with Mordechai being led through the streets. This is a question of none other than Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. Okay? As we know, it's not Purim without Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. This is his question. Take a look at number 8 on the Pasuk. Balayla hu nadadash nas hamelech. Number 9, Yaros Devash. Yesh lahavin. Ma tzorech haya lenezeh. Of what purpose was this miracle? Shebalayla nadadash nas hamelech. And they uplifted Mordechai with this kavod. What does it got to do with anything? That's not the Yeshua. The Yeshua is Esther put her life on the line, asked Ahasuerus to save us, and Haman took a misstep, and the rest is history. The very next pasuk, number 10. Vayoshav Mordechai Ozar HaMelech. Okay, so what's going on here? Another question. Question number 2. It says that Oydam Adabrim Imayiv Sorry, say HaMelech Higiyo. This is pasuk Yudalad. A few two pasukim later. Vayav hilul havias haman el amishte asher asasa Esther. They're still talking to Mordechai, right? Remember, Haman came home and he told Zeresh, I'm home. He's like, oh no, not you. And he said, what do I do with this Mordechai guy? And all of a sudden, oydam medabrim imay, he was still speaking to them. And all of a sudden they came, they grabbed him, and they were mevahel Haman. Haman was bewildered and confused and astonished. Why this detail? The detail is irrelevant. Just say, he went home, and then the ministers of the king came to take him to the party. Why is it Megillah emphasizing that in middle of conversation that Haman was having with his wife, they in middle came and grabbed him, and with great Bahala, they brought him to the Mishnah. Who cares it was with Bahala? Who cares he was still talking to them? Why is the Megillah emphasizing that they rushed to bring Haman to the party? Number 3. Again, this is a question of the Karen Yeshua, and this is a commentary of the Ben Ishchai on Megillas Esther. And he, the Karen Yeshua, says this is actually also the question of the Yaros Devash, who is Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. Question number 3. That's the question of the Ben Ishchai in the old print. Now we're going to do a question of the Ben Ishchai in the new print. All right? Here we go. So there's a mitzvah on Purim. Chayev Inish Levesume Bepuraya. There's an obligation to become inebriated on Purim until you don't know the difference between the bad guy and the good guy. So all you Sfardim, you're in luck. Because the Mechaber did not come up with any heterim or any easy shortcuts. You just basically, you drink till you drop. All the heterim are all Ashkenazi heterim. Ashkenazim, they know Chachmas, this way with the big thumb. The Sfardim, no. This is what the Gemara says. This is what we do. No chachmas. Comes the Ramah. V'yesh oimer ein sach l'shtager kol kach. You don't really have to get so drunk. Ela yishta yoyser milimudai. Just drink a little bit more. Some say, you drink more than you learn. Yishta yoyser milimudai. So for some people, you don't ever have to drink anything, No, that's a Purim time, okay? Ela yishta yoyser milimudai. V'yashen, and you go to sleep. That's a cop-out. Really? That's what the Ramah says? I thought the reason you drink is to remember the miracle happened through wine. And therefore, you don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So, this is a legitimate heter? If you called up a rabbi for a comparable shayla, and he said, you don't really have to do what it says. You could take a nap instead. Give me his number, Drink more than you're accustomed to and go to sleep. When we talk Shayoshin, any idea of Ben Arham and Baruch Mordechai. Ask the Ben Ishchai, L'chayra is the Inyan who Shayoshin. What's the Inyan here that you should go to sleep? Marv Rabbi said that's question number three. Question number four. So Achashver says, Mi huzeh? V'yezehu, Hashem loy libo, elasois kein. Look at number 15. V'atoymer Esther, ish sarve oyev, haman hara hazeh. By the way, Chazal say, ish sarve oyev, he pointed to Achashverosh. Haman hara, he wanted to, and the Malach came in. Haman hara hazeh. V'haman nivas, v'yamech, v'amaka Haman is, huh? Me? Are you kidding me? Haman is on. So the king gets up from the wine party to the garden. Haman got up now to plead with Esther. What do you think he's saying? He's saying, me? I didn't know you were a Jew. You didn't tell me you were a Jew. I thought you were an Amaleki. By the way, the Gemara says that Vatihi Esther noises chen v'yene. Koroyeha. Very good. Esther found favor in everybody's eyes. The Gemara says, L'chol echa ve'echa nidma loy ke'umasai. Everybody thought she was one of them. So if you came from North Korea, you thought she was North Korean, right? Everybody thought she was one of them. Why did Hashem make that miracle? So that Haman should think she's Amalekia and not suspect that she was Jewish. So Haman's pleading with her, I didn't know you were Jewish. Ki ra'a, ki chalsa elav, haram, eis hamelech. The king comes back. Haman takes the misstep. What in the world? What's wrong with you? You're attacking the queen in the palace? Haman is embarrassed. Ha, comes the chacham. Right? Gam hine ha'etz. Ki kain de yayna says in Masechta Megillah. V'gam charvoyna zachor latoiv. What do you mean v'gam? It should end off. V'charvoyna zachor latoiv. What do you mean v'gam? We don't say v'gam oror haman, v'gam arura zeresh. No! Charvoyna is an oisvarf. He's a Rosh Marusha. There's only one good thing he ever did. Gam! He hates! He said this sentence of Gam! Gam charvoyna zachor latoiv. By the way, how do I know? Who told me that he's an oisvarf? Because the Gemara says, "Va'yomru lo izeresh ishtoi v'chol oyhavav yasuetz gavo yachamishima." Who gave Haman the idea to make the gallows? Who was one of the oyhavim of Haman? Charvoyna. He ain't no good guy. He did one good thing. Gam hine ha, the tree. So v'gam charvoyna is okay. I take that personally. No, but I don't think so. Hasach was Daniel.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Anyway. Asher dibar toiv al ha-melech. Oimei beveis Haman. He says, here's the gallows, 50 yom tov. Vayoyim ha-melech, tilu alav. I have a question. Look at the words of Charvoyna. He says, you know what this guy wanted to do? Now think about it. Esther tells the king, Haman wants to kill me. He does nothing. He doesn't say, kill him! He wants to kill you, kill him! He's still under control. His anger management therapist told him that when you get angry, go out and take a breather. Right? So he followed advice. That was lesson number one. Then he comes in and Haman looks like, and what does he say? Nothing. Like nothing he didn't see before. Oh, Charvoyna says, but you know what? He made a gallows to kill Mordechai. And Mordechai is your friend. Oh, kill him. That's what angered Achashverosh? That this guy spoke good about Achashverosh and Haman wants to kill him? The fact that he wants to kill his wife, no, he's good with that. The fact the guy is about to be mezane with his wife in front of his eyes, no, he's cool. But the fact that he wanted to hang a guy who once spoke good about the king, I have a question for you. How much debt do you think Achashverosh had to Mordechai? He forgot about it for who knows how many years. He wrote it in the book. He wrote it in the book, and it's like when you tell somebody, oh, I really appreciate it, right? How much appreciation do you have? You don't even remember what the guy did anymore. That's how much appreciation Ahasuerus had for Mordechai. He wrote it in the book of Chronicles, and he completely forgot about it until he couldn't fall asleep at night, and they were reading it to him as nursery rhymes. That's how much gratitude he had to Mordechai. That was the makkah b'patrus as ben Ishchai. Oh, I don't care that he wants to kill my king. I don't care that he wants to be mezaneh with the queen in front of my eyes. What I care about is some Jew who once said something good about me. What's going on over here? And here's the whopper. The whopper of the whoppers. The whopper shebechol ha-whoppers. So Esther says, this guy wants to kill me. Right? So imagine, how many people are in the room? Esther, Mordechai, and Chavoyna. Esther says, I don't know what to do. This guy wants to kill me. And Chavoyna is standing there. What does he say? Doesn't say a word. And then the king comes back in, and Haman looks like he's... And Chavoyna says, nothing. But then... Ufnei Haman chafu. Haman is ashamed. And only then Chavoyna opens up his mouth. The topic of today's shiur is what we call Chavoyna's well-timed comment. The well-timed comment. So again, look carefully in the psukim. When Esther says, the guy wants to kill me, Chavoyna doesn't open his mouth. When Haman noifel alamita, nothing. When the king says, Hagam lichboish, ufnei Haman chafu, vayoymer Chavoyna. What's going on? What is going on over here? Well, comes the Karen Yeshua. Take a look at number 19. And he says, I have a question. Here Mordechai saves the king's skin. They plotted to kill him. Look look at the Hakara Satoiv of Ahasuerush. What's the Hakara Satoiv? Oh, you saved my skin? Okay, bring me my pen. We're going to write it in the good book. Remember when I was in fifth grade, the Rebbe had a Sefer HaZichronos. But not only that, at 1 month of the year, I was the Sefer. If somebody did something good, it was a Gladstein, right there. If someone did something bad, Gladstein. And you know, it was a big Zuchus. Who was the Sefer of the Sefer HaZichronos, you know? It was a rotation. What do you get out of being a Sefer HaZichronos? Nothing. You're in the Sefer HaZichronos. So here, the king, his life was saved. So why, but what's the reward for Mordechai? Nothing. He's written in the Sefer Zechronos. In fact, the king forgot about it. Totally. It was not on his mind. So why didn't the king reward Mordechai? But the answer is, says the Ben Ishchai, the truth is it made no sense for Ahasuerus to reward Mordechai. I'll give you an example. Did you see the front page of the paper today? There's a guy riding on the highway, on the 878, and it's a 50 mile per hour speed limit, and there was somebody driving 48 miles per hour, and a cop pulled him over and gave him a $100 bill, and he said, I just wanted to reward you for following the rules. You didn't see that? Me neither, okay? Why not? Why don't the police pull people over for following the rules? Because you send a very bad message to people when they're rewarded for doing what they have to do. Because then it's like, you don't have to do this. If you do it, you're a great guy. Reward is when you go above and beyond the call of duty. If you get rewarded for something, you're sending a message that it's not absolutely critical that you do this. And you know, you went above and beyond. The last thing Ahasuerus wants to do is send a message to Persia. That you know what happened when a guy heard that... That I was going to be poisoned. The guy told me about it. Oh, and we made a big story. And he's being paraded through the streets on my horse. Because he's the greatest guy in the world. So everyone else is thinking. Oh. So basically what you're saying is. That we don't have to let you know. And if we do, you know, it will be worth it for us. You don't reward people for following the law. For following the rules. And therefore, Ahasuerus just wrote it down. And he had no plans of rewarding Mordechai. The biggest hatava min hashamayim is that Ahasuerus delayed paying back Mordechai until that fateful day that we're going to see about very soon. Okay, take a look at number 20. Achashverosh hears that Haman wants to kill Esther. No reaction from Chevroina. Achashverosh sees Haman noifel al Hamita. No reaction. Ah, Pnei Haman chafu. Then Chevroina opens up his mouth. So here's the first step of the share. The first step is, we spoke about anger management. So here is the human dynamic of managing anger. And that is, if somebody gets angry, and they're seething, and then, you know, the steam is coming out of their ears and out of their nose. If they don't react, and they don't say anything, and they don't you're in big trouble. The best thing that could happen to you is if they say, you! And they call you a name. They just vented all that pent-up anger in an innocuous insult. That's the best thing. So what happened? When Esther says, this man wants to kill me, what's Achashverosh's reaction? Nothing. He didn't do anything yet. So Chevroina is sitting there. I know what's going to happen. He's going to come back and say, Tilu Olav! And then he comes in and Haman is Noifel Alamita. And then it's Chevroina's biggest nightmare. You're going to do this in front of my eyes? And all that kas that was building up in Achashverosh was just released. Chevron says, uh-oh, that's all Haman's going to get. A nasty word from the king. He's not going to hang him. Oh, he realized it's not happening unless he says something about it. But originally he figured, you know, let it happen on its own. As long as Achashverosh has not reacted, I know what the reaction is going to be. He's going to hang him. But once Achashverosh released that pent-up anger, no, this is my only opportunity. That's the first step. Step number two. Take a look at number 21. The Rambam writes on Megillas Esther. Don't ask me where. I have no idea. I never saw a parish of the Rambam Megillas Esther. But the Ben Ishchai quotes it. That the minhag in Persia is... Do we have any ancient Persians here? Okay, good. So... this is what the Rambam says the minhag in Persia was. That if the king gets angry at you, and the king is upset at you, and the king is about to... if you insult the king doesn't want to look at you. The king doesn't want to see your face. So basically the two henchmen would come, and when the king gets angry at you, they take the big paper bag, bag him, you know? So the king doesn't have to look at his face. That's the minhag in Persia, as everybody here I'm sure knows very well. Okay? So here's the thing. Chevroina, he's a nasty guy, but he ain't no fool. If he's going to open up his mouth and say, when Esther says, this wicked man Haman wants to kill me, Chevroina is no fool. He's not going to say, hang him! You know, he made a gallows to want to hang Mordechai. Haman's going to give him that eye. He said, I made the gallows to hang Mordechai. And who advised me to make the gallows to hang Mordechai? You're one of my cronies. You're one of my oihavim. You're the one who gave me the idea! Get out of here! And Chevroina is putting his life in jeopardy. He had a million years. He's never going to say, Gam hineho es ashasa. This man made a gallows to hang Mordechai. It was Chevroina's idea. And therefore he keeps his mouth zipped. And then... he's just watching how this is going to play out. Achashverosh comes back in. The Haman noifel al Amita. And then Achashverosh says the words, Hagam lichbash es hamalka imi babayis. And now Achashverosh is angry at Haman. And the two henchmen come with the paper bag. Ufnei Haman chafu. Haman is bagged. Ha! Chevroina says, quick! Vayoymer Chevroina! And Haman's going, Achashverosh, what did he say? He said, no, never mind, he's under the bag. Oh, my mouth, Tulua love. Chevroina is a smart guy. He doesn't open up his mouth until Haman's under the bag. And Haman can't, Haman's like, well, you told me the idea. Achashverosh said, what did he say? You told him the idea? No, he said that, you know, the carrots are for lunch. I don't know what he said. That's why Chevroina does not open up his mouth until that interval, says the Ben Ishchai in the Sefer Karen Yehoshua. Next. Another pshat over here. Number 22. Another way to answer why Chevroina delayed his comments only until Achashverosh said, Hagam lichvosh es hamalka imi babayis. Again, he's afraid to say that this guy made a gallows to kill Mordechai, because he's the one who advised Haman to make the gallows. So he hears what's going on over here, and he's looking carefully in Haman's face. And Esther says, Ishar ve'oyev Haman hara hazeh. This guy wants to kill me. Now Haman, if you were Haman, what do you say back to that? King, you're making a big mistake. I didn't know Esther was a Jew. I thought Esther was one of us. I never meant her. She's excluded, of course, from the Gzeir. Or, oh, if I would have known, I never... I mean, does a man have smooth lips or not? I mean, there's an easy comeback. He botched it, right? Esther says, he wants to kill me. Why doesn't he open his mouth and say, no, I didn't know? Echavon is watching him. And he's afraid to say, this guy wanted to kill Mordechai. And then Achashverosh comes back in, and Haman took the misstep. Right? It says, V'haman amad levakesh al nafsha me Esther hamalka. V'haman noifel. He tripped. So Achashverosh comes back in, and he sees, and Achashverosh says, Hagam lichvosh hamalka b'bayis? Why doesn't Haman say, no, chas v'shalom. You would suspect me of doing that in front of you? I ain't no fool. I fell. I was just begging Esther to save my life. Check the video camera. Check the tape. So again, Haman doesn't say the obvious comeback. Obviously, Charvayna says, the man is so befuddled and so confounded and lost his way and was so overwhelmed with the situation, he's mamashi, he became like a goylem. Ah! So now if I say it, he tried to kill Mordechai, he's not going to say back. He doesn't know what to do. He's completely... And Haman, he's shaking, his head is spinning. He doesn't say anything. That's why Charvayna waited precisely for that moment. Okay, Rabbi Isai, listen very carefully. This is a tremendous ga'inus of the Ben Ishchai. He says, when Charvayna says, Gam hineho eitz asher asa Haman le'Mordechai ha'yoshev b'shar ha'melech. What's the end of the pasuk? He says, le'Mordechai, excuse me, asher diber toiv al ha'melech, oimed b'veis Haman, gavoya chamish mama. The words that Charvayna uses is, Achashverosh, this man made a gallows. How tall? 50 amos tall. And where does it stand? Beveis Haman. Why is Charvayna saying that the gallows stand Beveis Haman? Everybody knows they stand Beveis Haman. After all, they're 50 amos tall. Now, tall 50 amos is? Lefi the Chazoinish. This is 100 feet tall. That means a typical Persian house is what?
10 stories.
What? No way. Typical Persian house is two story. I don't know, is 20 feet high. Lamaisa, the human glance is usually not higher than 20 amos. And here you have all these little Persian huts, and then there's a thing that goes up to the Shamayim. You can barely see, you don't know who's up there, you know? Neil Armstrong is up there, you know? What? And where does Haman make it? Beveis Haman. Why is Charvayna pointing out, Asher diber tev melech oimed beveis Haman? You don't think everybody knows where this gallows are? It's the tallest monument in all of Persia. Why is Charvayna stressing? It's oimed beveis Haman. Why is he stressing? It's gavaya chamish mama. You know how many times Megillah already said it's gavaya chamish mama? And Charvayna is emphasizing the following. Says the Ben Ishchai, you know, if you're second in command to the king, you have a lot of leeway, you have a lot of power, you have a lot of kayach. If you were the king, though, how would you react? You want someone who's second in command, he opens up his own office, he opens up his own headquarters. What if he starts, what if he builds an electric chair in his, you know, backyard, and he starts administering capital punishment? It's mired b'malchus, you know, hachayim v'hamavas or b'yad ha'melech. What's this guy Haman doing? I know you don't care that he wanted to kill Mordechai. You completely forgot about Mordechai. But what's this guy doing? It's Beveis Haman. It's Beveis Haman. What's he doing? He's a Moired B'Malchus. You don't take life and death into your own hands unless you're the king. Isn't it audacious? Isn't it chutzpahdik? Isn't it like an insult that this man who you put in second command is administering capital punishment in his own backyard? He's making Sraro L'Atzmai. It's Oimedes Beveis Haman! It's there! It's in his house! It's not Bachatza Ginas HaMelech! If he really honored and respected you, and he felt for your honor, he would have erected the monument in your house. What's he doing it in his backyard for? Elamai, you'll say, he did it for your honor. Because Mordechai was on Achashverosh's good side, it wouldn't look good for the king if Mordechai was hanging in Achashverosh's front lawn. People would say, what kind of ingrate is Achashverosh? And therefore, in order to hide it from people, Haman built in his backyard. But it's Gavoya Chamishimama! He's not trying to hide it from anybody. It's in everybody's face. That means if you look from the United States of America with binoculars across the world, the only thing you could see is the eighth Gavoya Chamishimama in Haman's backyard. Basically, what he's trying to message is, he feels he runs this land. He's in charge over here. That's why Charvoina uses the expression, Oimed Beveis Haman, and don't you tell me he's doing it to protect your honor, to hide it, because it's Gavaya Chamishimama. So here's the clincher. If you've been with me until now, this is unbelievable. Says the Ben Ishchai. Back to the question. And the question is, yeah, back over here. Right over here. Says the Ben Ishchai, we wanted to know the episode that Mordechai had his day in the sun, and he's being led through the streets of Shushan. We asked, it had nothing to do with the story. There was no turnaround here. There was no turning point, there's no momentum. He had one good day, and after that, Mordechai went back to his sackcloth. And ultimately, it was Esther who saved the Jewish people. Says the Ben Ishchai, and by the way, I found this later in the Drasha Selech Sam Sofer. Yeah? He says like this. Charvoina knew that if he's going to tell the king, do you know what this man Haman wants to do? He wants to kill Mordechai. You know how many weeks he had to tell the king that? What does it have to do with what Esther said? Charvoina could have gone the day after Haman made the Eitz Gavaya Chamishimama. Charvoina could have gone to the king and said, King, this is the guy who spoke good on you. Why is Charvoina waiting until now? Listen very carefully. It's Oyem V'Noira. Charvoina has an amazing taina. And this is the main blunder of Haman. This is the main mistake of Haman. Haman went to Achashverosh. And Haman thought that Achashverosh was going to honor him. And Achashverosh says, no, you see, I have this dirty Jew Mordechai, and in order to promote goodwill in the kingdom, I want to make it look good that when someone does me a favor, I'm going to reward him. So do me a favor. This is all part of the PR. You're going to lead him through the streets. But don't worry. You'll do whatever you want to him the day after. Here's Haman's big mistake. Haman's okay, no problem. And Haman's leading Mordechai through the streets. And everyone's snapping pictures of Haman leading him through the streets with the gallows in the background. What kind of fool does Haman Achashverosh look like? This is how we honor somebody who the king wants to... Haman, you forgot one thing. Just take down the gallows today. That's really dumb if you're going to lead Mordechai through the streets with the gallows looming in the background. Achashverosh looks like a complete nincompoop. You look like a fool. This is what we do to someone who the king wishes to honor. What do? We lead him on the royal horse with the gallows in the background. The Shaita Sheba Olam. Take down the gallows. And that very day, Haman goes to his wife and says, you know what happened today? I had to actually lead Mordechai through the streets. And Zeresh was like, you know, you didn't take down the gallows before? You better quickly. Haman, as Zeresh was about to tell him, if you didn't take the gallows down before, take it down now, so Ahasuerus doesn't realize that you forgot to take down the gallows. Immediately then, they grabbed Haman in middle of conversation. Oidam medabrim imoy v'sari se'amach higiu v'yavhilu l'havias Haman. Haman didn't have a chance to stop and to think and say, you know, I really better knock down those gallows and we'll put them up tomorrow. Memela, the biggest miracle of Purim was that Ahasuerus forgot to reward Mordechai until when? The day after the gallows were built. Because now Haman looks like a complete fool for leading him through the streets with the gallows looming in the background, and Haman forgot to take them down. So therefore, Charvoina says, Gam hinei ha'etz asher asa Haman, the Mordechai Hayudi, Oimei beveis Haman, it's still standing there! You know that, Ahasuerus? He didn't take him down! Chavonu could never say a word. There's nothing Chavonu could say. That Haman wanted to hang Mordechai? Haman himself was not embarrassed. He was headed to the king's palace to tell the king that I'm going... If Haman's not afraid that Ahasuerus is going to get angry about that, then what? Then obviously the king wouldn't be upset. So the king is not going to be angry that Haman wants to hang Mordechai. I'm sure the king wanted to hang Mordechai as well. The problem with what Haman did was he forgot to take down the gallows. And that's why it's very important that the Megillah says, Oidam medabrim imoy v'sarisei ha-melech higiyu. Now we understand. Ba'alayla ha-hu nadud ashnas ha-melech. That's the turning point. Let's think for a moment. You know what the salvation of Purim was? Salvation of Purim was that if Ahasuerus would have rewarded Mordechai years earlier, and Mordechai would have been led through the streets years earlier, and the gallows had not been built yet, then we would have been in really big trouble. We wouldn't be here today. You would not be able to have danishes or wraps in the color of Eggers of Perka. But because Hashem made Ahasuerus farshluffen, and he was sleeping, and for years and years and years, not remembering to reward Mordechai, until the fateful day after Haman built the Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amma, and only then Haman is commanded to lead Mordechai through the streets, and he forgets to take down the gallows, and he doesn't have a chance because Oidam Adam Yomasari Seyam El Chigiyu. So you know what the salvation of Purim was? That Ahasuerus was sleeping! And therefore, there's another way to be Mekayim in the midst of Adlo Yoda, says the Ben Ishchai. Either you could drink a lot until you don't, or even better, there's a big mitzvah to sleep on Purim. Why? Zecher le'Yeshua's Purim, the Ahasuerus was so far shluffen that he forgot to remember about the good deed of Mordechai until precisely the right moment that the gallows were still standing. And that's why Charvoina says, at that moment that the gallows are still standing. Take a look at the end of number 24. Atanavin b'yeser behiros. Now we know clearer why there's a chiyuv to lehishtaker on this Yom Tov. That the Ramah says that this chiyuv you can be mekayim gam al yidei shena. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch, Yeshoimim, you don't have to drink so much. Drink a little bit more than you're accustomed to, and this way you'll forget. L'chayra eze inyan hu sheyashan. Ach l'fi ha'amar kol zeh nase l'zecher echad hanisim ha'gdoilim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged, which is the long sleep of Ahasuerus. His forgetting that he forgot to reward Mordechai until precisely the moment that the gallows were still standing, and Haman did not have that moment to pause and say, you know what, I really need to take down that gallows. And therefore, the truth is, the Balayla hu nadud ashnas ha-melech, that is the turning point. The fact that his sleep was stirred and he was awakened just then, just after that gallows was built, that is the turning point of the miracle. So, Rabbi Yisai, v'gam charvoina zachor la'toiv. We thank Charvoina for his assistance in this matter. And by the way, Zachor LaToiv, that's very interesting, Zachor LaToiv. You know, Charvoina is spelled two different ways in the Megillah. The first time it's spelled with a Aleph. The last time it's spelled with a Hey. You know, there's a halacha in Shemois that a secular name is spelled with an aleph in the end, and a holy name is spelled with a hey at the end. What? The answer to that is, so Chazal say that this second time around, who is this guy? He's such a chacham. He knows exactly when to say it, how to say it, what to say. The Medrash says this wasn't Charvoina. This was Eliyahu HaNavi, dressed up as Charvoina. He's wearing the Charvoina costume. Therefore, the first time is spelled with an aleph because that was really Charvoina. This is a Shem Kodesh. This is a holy Charvoina. Who is this? Eliyahu! Eliyahu! How do I know it's Eliyahu? Says Maril. What is Eliyahu called? Eliyahu Zachor Latoiv. Vegam Charvoina Zachor Latoiv. So we have a new costume this year for Purim. You heard it here first. The Charvoina costume really should come back in. Rabbi Say, have a great day. Shkaya.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.